You are listening to Right Back Atcha, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously, hosted by, he's a gold digger, but this girl just can't catch, David and Lynn, and me, 17 and dumb, je suis un jolie, Joel Babington. Hello, Davo, how are you doing?
Doing good, JB. And do you know what? Here at Right Back Atcha, we do love a girl group, so it feels natural that we're back celebrating the girlies.
How do you only follow up like one of our biggest girl groups of all time, then the Queen of Pop? This is the natural follow-up.
This is a natural follow-up. I mean, in case you guys haven't noticed or this is your first time tapping in, we are named after a Spice Girls album track, after all.
Third album track.
I mean, niche, but that's what we are. We've covered Girls Aloud on this podcast, Sugar Babes, The Saturdays, Pussycat Dolls, All Saints, Cleopatra, Precious, Our Girls, Booty Love, and Bardo.
Tommy Kitten,
yes. Oh my God, how could I? That is series one, wasn't it? That was early days.
Deep
in the archives. But, you know, we've had 5 years of Thank You, Baby as a result. And it's always been on our hearts, hasn't it, JB, to do an episode like this?
I looked back in our messages. I searched girl bands just to see what had been going on. We'd spoken about this
500
in 2020,
messages.
2021, 2022. It has been prominent for a long time. We've just never quite got to it. And we are finally doing a Lost Girl Bands episode today.
I mean, even right up till this morning, we were still figuring out the lineup of this girl group festival that we're putting
just
together.
Just like our girl bands, always figuring out the lineup. This is who we're kicking off with today. We would love to do more of Lost Girl Bands episodes. I want to do volume 2, volume 3, volume 4.
If you guys want like a part 2, 3, 4, like we are open to suggestions.
We were doing this today. This was the first three. But even just from us talking about these bands, we've unintentionally already got potentially the next lineup ready to go.
We're ready for the next festival. So yeah, look, three girl groups today, British girl groups. Yes, they are lost, perhaps on the charts and on streaming and on platforms some in some ways, but they're always present in our hearts.
And if they weren't, they will be after this episode. So, David, before we get into it today, please can you read us a lovely 5-star review?
Okay, Jolie B, we've got this one by Meg. Fantastic podcast, guys. It's great to know that there is other people who love the early noughties music as much as I do. Found your podcast by looking up Rachel Stevens in Apple Podcasts. I'm a huge fan.
Me too.
A couple of suggestions for an episode. One, All Stars and the chart battle between Eamon and Frankie. So just want to say, keep up the good work. Thank you so much, Meg.
Thank you, Meg Han. That is so lovely. Look, I think about Eamon and Frankie all the time. Did you get that chart battle in Australia?
I don't think it was as much of a chart battle because the Eamon one was so big.
Yeah.
It was more hype than actual chart battle.
Yeah. I think it was here, but the gays and the girlies, we love Frankie. Anyway, if you are loving what we're doing, please do hit that subscribe button and leave us a lovely 5-star review. Tell your friends about us and follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. Right, Davo, let's dive right back into it.
So, JB, I mean, we are going back to the late noughties for this one. In 2009, we had three new pop girl groups debut from Queen Lizzie's United Kingdom. Can you believe that?
I can't.
All in the space of a few months, these three girl groups came out. So today we are celebrating Dolly Rockers, Girls Can't Catch, and Mini Viva.
You've got Dolly Mail!
Hi, we're the Dolly Rockers! You've been Dolly Rockered!
Woo! Hi, we're Girls Can't Catch. Make sure you keep checking us out.
Hi, we're Mini Viva. I'm Brits.
And I'm Frankie.
Summer of 2009, a lot of our favourite girl groups are at different stages of their careers. Some have gone on hiatus, some were sort of on the way to a hiatus, let's just say. Girls Aloud, definitely on hiatus at this point in summer. They just finished their Out of Control tour. Pussycat Dolls, again, it kind of feels like they were winding down at this point. That year they had Jai Ho for the Slumdog Millionaire soundtrack and a couple more singles at the tail end of the Doll Domination album. Our Sugar Babes, though, were still hanging on, but this was the year where we were about to get the ill-fated Sweet 7 era.
Very tricky.
Tricky. Changes were on the way there, but on the bright side, definitely feels like the Saturdays are being positioned as the next British pop girl group to take over.
Mm-hmm.
Their debut album the year before in 2008 had four consecutive top 10 singles. Like, they were just on turbo speed at this point, but there were a couple of other girl groups coming up around this time, so we just want to revisit, celebrate these girlies and just sort of paint a picture for you in British pop at this time, right?
Yeah, and I mean, it's really interesting you're putting it into that context. Do you think all the labels, the major British labels at the time, was like, we need a girl band, we need to be pushing out a girl band, because they were seeing a potential gap in the market?
I'm surprised as a result of that, it was basically like three pop groups that emerged at this time. There wasn't like R&B, there wasn't, I don't know what it is, you know.
But yeah, they're all more pop, rocky and dancey. There's no, as you're saying, no R&B flair. We could have just done with a new Mystique, a new Destiny's Child, and we would have been on the dance floor. But anyway, I'm going to kick things off with the Dolly Rockers. Now, in the time that we are looking at, Dolly Rockers were signed with Parlophone / EMI. So who are the Dolly Rockers? The Dolly Rockers were a trio with a rotating lineup of four girlies. We have Brooke Challoner, Lucy Kay, Sophie King, and Lisa Owen. The original lineup was Brooke, Sophie, and Lucy. And then the final lineup in 2013 was Lisa, Sophie, and Lucy. So these girls all auditioned for a different girl group called Innocence. Not the US Innocence.
I was going to say.
Not the Britney Innocence. Britney, you just need to be like the Dolly Rockers. But yeah, it seems like, is that just a trope that we're every now and then, every era needs a girl band called Innocence?
But Innocence with an S-E-N-S-E, Innocence.
Exactly. So they formed this band, Innocence. Very similar to the Spice Girls story. They didn't like what was going on with that management. They felt like the management didn't know what was going on. Left them, independent ladies, went out and did their own thing. Changed their name to the Dolly Rockers, which came from a vintage clothing company. In 2006, they auditioned for the third series of The X Factor.
Oh, wow. All those years back before this single came out.
All those years back, yes. So these girlies, we really do have to give it credit to them. They're publicly from 2006 to 2013, plus the time before we even ever see them on The X Factor. So they really were grafting and going for it and put in the work. So 2006, Judges Houses. They unfortunately don't make it to the live shows.
And they were called Dolly Rockers then.
They were called Dolly Rockers then. That was the first glimpse the world ever got of Dolly Rockers, sung Round Round by the Sugar Babes at Louis' house.
Okay.
After that, they met and started working with songwriters Ray Hedges and Nigel Butler for about a year, year and a half, while still working their day jobs. It would have been around this time, getting closer to 2009, they obviously signed with Parlophone EMI. And May 2009, we get our first taste of Dolly Rockers with Je Suis Une Dolly.
Gonna get an iPhone. Just we on Dolly in my Saint-Tropez. Have a little dance. I think Marty Shay. A boulevou. You buy the Chardonnay.
Now, this was released as a free download on the band's website, but it got a lot of traction and picked up. So the song Je Suis Une Dolly is a kind of sample remake of the 1981 hit CC Je Suis Un Rockstar, and it became heavily promoted by Scott Mills on Radio 1.
Scott Taste.
A-list role Scotty Boy. That led to EMI rush releasing this as a free download.
Do you remember back in this time where people love a free download promo single? I remember when Kesha launched with TikTok, like that was a free download as well on the website. Like, you know, you sign up to the mailing list, you get a free download.
The first time I heard this song in preparation for this episode, I thought, what on earth is going on? But it has been stuck and going around in my head 24/7, and I am absolutely obsessed. David Lim, I would go as far as to say it feels like the spiritual northern pen pal to Tina Barrett's Moi Moi.
Stop it. Louis V got a crush on me. I love the lyrics here, though. Je suis une dolly in my Saint-Tropez. Have a little dance avec moi, touché. Voulez-vous, you buy me the Chardonnay?
See? It's the northern pen pal.
The bit in verse two. Lights on and it's time to roam. He looks more like a garden gnome.
Tricky.
We've all been there, darling.
We've all been there, darling.
I remember first coming across a visual of these girls. It must have been this song or the next single, but I remember thinking, oh my God, this is wild. Like, it kind of looks like a kind of messy, glamorous British girl group, but unlike any of the others that I'm used to, like Girls Aloud Saturdays, like there was something a little rough and ready about these girls.
Very.
But also looked really fun. What did you think of them at that time, as in your first impressions?
David Lim, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I only know about them through like gay and pop fan lore and references like in the last 10 years. They completely passed me by.
Were you on a cruise ship at this time?
It was gearing up to it. So I would have been gearing up to graduating and then on the cruise ship. It's my blind spot, guys.
I always hate saying this on a podcast because I've got it wrong many times before and I've aged you up.
Yeah, 2001, we're on the cruise ship. At least this is 2009, David.
It's more appropriate, yes.
Exactly. But yeah, I wasn't like you in terms of tapped into the blogosphere at this time. So you really do recall getting glimpses of them on the pop blogs.
I remember seeing it on Pop Justice and all these blogs. They were all raving about it because I guess this was kind of part of the wave of the new British girl groups that are coming up. And they were quite exciting. They had quite an image about them. And I remember like there were lots of stories on like Digital Spy and places like that. But yeah, I was aware of the girls.
And you still wanted to move to the UK?
They were the whole reason why I moved here, darling.
It was like, I am a Dolly Rocker.
I want to be a Dolly.
I do think it's really interesting of, because they are mainstream bubblegummy pop in a way, but also the closest mainstream bubblegum pop's ever going to get to like Lily Allen and Arctic Monkeys. You
can see
it's trying to blur all these elements together.
They really conceptually feel like a Venn diagram of Girls Aloud mixed with Lily Allen. There's that kind of very in-your-face, tongue-in-cheek, bit rough around the edges, gobby, very British in a way.
Very British. I think they were like, what is the story of the Spice Girls now and that energy? I think that's what they were going for. And I do think they ultimately got more girl thing than Spice Girls.
Ooh.
But it is fabulous nonetheless. Let's talk about the music video for this song, David. It's very lo-fi. It shows the girls in Tesco's, on the tube, and in the middle of Liverpool Street, starting a flash mob. It's very got the feeling of sort of guerrilla filmmaking in a way, filmed on phones. In a way that I think in 2009, people just weren't ready for it yet. If this was released now, it would be so TikTok ready.
Yeah.
That kind of lo-fi, do-it-yourself, but stylized and curated really well way. We're used to just scrolling and we're in a less polished world now of that is working. And I think in 2009, it was jarring.
We were in a time of MySpace, Facebook, and YouTube was coming up and it's kind of DIY content filming and people were doing it that way. But how do you do that with a girl group? Maybe Dolly Rockers were part of that movement.
Absolutely. I I'm hearing what you're saying, David, and you're saying it's time for Dolly Rocker's reunion, and I completely agree. Like, launch on TikTok.
Speaking of TikTok, can I just say, you know that scene where they're in a tube carriage dancing around?
Tube Girl!
Tube Girl!
Original Tube Girl!
Original Tube Girl, when she's like having a wind machine moment with the window down. I'm like, that girl gets paid so much to do these TikToks now, and Dolly Rockers were just invented that. Come on.
Absolutely. So from the production company Fingertips Films that made this music video, they said, we shot on 7 undercover cameras, including mobile phones, as the girls gatecrashed various venues around London performing their routine. They nearly got arrested at Tesco and the Tate Modern, but we turned up at Liverpool Street with 50 dancers and it got very interesting.
Love that. Love that energy of it. So this is everything I love about the Dolly Rockers that I didn't necessarily appreciate at the time because I just saw it as sloppy and messy.
It's very interesting. The only thing that is maybe felt a bit dated at the time was a flash mob. I think already by 2009 we were over it, but everything else was really ahead of its time.
Listen, honey, a flash mob is eternal. We're still doing it to this day.
David's like, why are you shading all my pitches?
I'm doing a flash mob tonight.
So this was a buzz single, didn't chart, but lots of coverage, buzz, radio airplay. I think I read that Dolly Rockers even went on Scott Mills's show and like as a joke was like, thanks for taking all our money, as in like, because it rush released as a buzz track instead of an actual single.
Love it.
So that's just the girlies and that's what they do. So let's move on to June 2009, David. They slam the Saturdays in the press. So it is a little bit of Saturdays v Dolly Rockers. It was when the Saturdays were releasing Issues. And one of the Dolly Rockers said, could have been 5 completely different girls and nobody would have given a SH1T. And then one of the other bandmates, Lucy, said, we'd lose the will to live. If the Saturdays joined our band, they'd be ripped to pieces. But Rochelle, Romford Queen, like myself, clapped back with a tweet, still alive to this day. Rochelle went back with Dolly Trotters, a.k.a. Chavs in capital letters. Don't like us, but use us for the press. Wow, times are hard. Anyway, Mustache have a sold-out tour to prepare for.
Early Twitter celebrity feuds are so funny. It reminds me of when, like, Ciara and Rihanna had that beef, and it's like, oh, good luck booking that stage you speak of.
Wow.
So messy, but it was a different time.
To give you context, guys, this is the time when my Twitter handle was at Hot Blonde Mess. That's where we were feeling. That was the vibe.
I didn't know that was your Twitter handle. I thought that was your MySpace one. You brought it over.
I don't think it was ever my MySpace one. MySpace was Joel Official.
You got in there quick with that one. Sorry to all the other Joels in the world. This is the official one.
But, you know, it was untamed, shall we say.
It was the wild, wild west. We had no fear on the internet in those days.
No. Towards the end of the year, the Dolly Rockers did admit they regret what they said. Lucy said it was one of the first interviews they did and they could have been a bit cleverer. That's a direct quote. And went on to say, it wasn't in a nasty way. The Times asked us if we compare ourselves to them and we said no, because they were put together and we weren't. We're not saying they're rubbish. And Brooke went on to say, we thought every person we spoke to was our best friend and they'd understand how we'd come across in person. But the way one comment is written might be a lot different to the way it was said.
Do you think their team probably tried to like get the Dolly Rockers to support the Saturdays and Rochelle marched in there, put a stop to it, held up her phone?
The Dolly Trotters are not on my tour, thank you. They were still, you know, humble. Look, which obviously we've got no right to say. They've got a year on us and we've not even had a hit. So,
wow, it looks like they really
had a big slice of humble pie.
There's certain pop stars that can pull off that gobby energy. Lily Allen can do it.
End of list.
You know. I do think Amy Winehouse was very real as well.
That video of Amy Winehouse's reaction to when they bring up Dido is just...
Oh, yes.
And you were just, that's like, my favorite. Queen, you know, because Amy is Amy, and don't compare her to Dido. Two very different artists. It's just very different kettle of fish, and Amy can do whatever the hell she wants. So let's move to August 2009, David, with the official debut single from the Jolly Rockers, Gold Digger. There's a brand new girl that's going round. Debut single from the girls, released in August 2009. Our Nick Levine, Live Laugh Levine of Digital Spy at this time.
First mention in this episode. First of very many, I'm sure.
This might be forgotten girl bands, but it's also Live Laugh Levine's greatest hits. The pop equivalent of flicking through OK and having a bitch about the Z-listers inside. And every bit as fun as it sounds.
Classic.
I will say, I think this song is great. I do think it's a shame that it isn't as catchy as Je Suis Un Dolly and then, you know, some of the other tracks out there.
What I do love is the single artwork, which is them as sort of giant dolly rockers in front of like dollhouses. It's just such a striking look. I love that single artwork.
That is a really gorgeous artwork. It's kind of like 2009 Hun Alice in Wonderland vibes. There's actually a lost Dolly Rockers music video for this song.
There's two videos.
So the first one was originally shot in May 2009. Sounds like it was probably a higher budget, had more of a narrative, but it's not out there and we'll never see it.
Oh my God, what's the reason for that?
We don't know. We do not know. It's like Ashley Tisdale's original He Said, She Said music video. We'll never know. But what we did get was a video that was much closer to the Je Suis Un Dolly video. They worked with Fingertip Films again, and it's predominantly shot in River Island on London's Oxford Street.
Oh, is that where they were doing the shop window?
We also see them on a rooftop and taking over an office.
We love a stunt queen. These are three stunt queens.
As I was saying before, it's giving very girl thing in 2009.
It's so interesting. Do you think the original video was maybe too polished and then they saw how quote-unquote viral Je Suis Un Dolly did and they wanted to do something more of that aesthetic of more DIY, more stunty, because that's what the girls were known for?
I think so.
I think ultimately the right decision was made because you can see those two videos and see an identity of a girl group emerging. So they were standing out for that reason.
What I love is the video ends with them putting a sticker on the wall saying, "You've been Dolly Rockered," which I absolutely love and is chef's kiss.
Everything about the execution and the marketing so far, I'm really feeling, even though I wasn't invested at the time. Looking back, I can really appreciate it.
There was interviews from the girls saying at the time that they wanted someone to play that part in the music video, and they were hoping to get Matt Lucas to be in the music video portraying like a Katie Price style wag character.
They would have gotten a lot more press if it was Matt Lucas dressed up as Jordan or something. But, you know, put the focus on the girls.
Put the focus on the Dolly Rockers. It did spend 1 week in the top 50 here in the UK, peaked at number 46. Unfortunately, that then ended this run with EMI Parlophone. The follow-up, the alleged follow-up single to Gold Digger was due to be Boys Will Be Boys, which is absolutely a bit of the JB. It is a dead, rocky, pop, up-tempo number of the time. Maybe kind of akin to like what the Veronicas and Kelly Clarkson was doing in the late 2000s. Blogging legend Bradley of Mew Mews and of the Legends Only podcast called it arguably one of the best songs of the past decade.
Now, this is so different. This is a level up. This is an international pop release to me. And it's a really good track to have up your sleeve when you've got a bigger fan base and then to release it. So I heard this song for the first time today and I'm like, what a shame this never got an official release.
What absolute shame. Another track from this era with the girls is called Champagne Shirley, which has the lyrics, Gucci lifestyle, Primark wages. Yeah, now as we like to say on Right Back At You, that song, I can really relate to the lyrics.
I could really relate to the lyrics. So that song, Champagne Shirley, was on a album sampler by the Dolly Rockers. So obviously Parlophone EMI had a bunch of songs up their sleeves. They were sending it out in preparation for more. I heard these songs for the first time today and I'm obsessed. Like, we've got a real identity of a girl group here. These tracks, yes, a bit hammy, yes, a bit tongue-in-cheek, but it really does all fit into the universe of what you think Dolly Rockers would be. The chorus. Her real name's Shirley, but she says it's champagne. She loves the attention, but the boys don't complain. She comes from Hull, but she talks like the queen. She wears haute couture. What the fuck does that mean?
Is that a monologue, David, you had to prepare for your staying in the UK test?
Yes, absolutely. They were like, yes. Had to memorise that.
Flying colours. So, although it was the end of their time with Parlophone EMI, in a really interesting turn of events, the Dolly Rockers kept on going, building their online fan base, and they signed with Red One. Or as Heidi Range would say, Lady Gaga's producer! And unfortunately, although this was a really big thing, we saw lots of Dolly Rockers doing vlogs, teasing, posting stuff online. We never got an official release, unfortunately, but they were still going right up until 2013. These tracks from the Red One era from about 2010, and I would say the most prominent one from the Red One era is a track called One More.
Now, JB, they uploaded this to their YouTube channel a couple of years after the fact, and it came without announcement. It was sort of just uploaded on YouTube, and then the fan base was like, oh, okay, Brilliant. This is a banger, but it's not Dolly Rockers as we know it, which is why I was like so shook when I saw this track surface back in the day, but I love it, and I wish this was on streaming officially because I'm obsessed with this song.
Yeah, I would love like just an EP put out of the Red One sessions would be absolutely phenomenal. A real treat for the pop gays, you know.
Now, do you think a Red One album was needed, or do you think we should have had more from the album sampler and those tracks?
I'm here for this polished, Americanized Red One. I'm here for their Sweet Seven moment.
Really?
Well, look, I'm an in-house Sweet Seven stan, so... What I do admire them for is these are all the three and four, but three at any time, really talented girls. And I admire that they are really committing to the output of the project, like what is Dolly Rockers at that given time. But I think they're all versatile performers that can give you more than that. So I think that... Although publicly it's such a short time, behind the scenes they really did go for it for a long time, which is extremely admirable. And although there wasn't a lot of releases, going from an X Factor to Boot Camp band to then be signed to EMI Parlophone, which is then dropped, and then signed with Red One, that is two really big things to be celebrated regardless of official output. So hats off to the girls. And I think we could with all of these bands, but I think this is the band that could be the band to have that Mighty Hoopla reunion slot.
in doing this episode, I knew the least about Dolly Rockers, but it's really made me listen to the album sampler tracks, and it's given me a fuller picture of it. Yes, I do take your point that they could have been a little too gimmicky and a little too novelty, but if you're with me, let's get a petition to get these tracks on streaming. Come on, pop activism. What can you do for us there?
Just hit upload. Come on. It's all we need. All right, David, let's get into our next girl band, Girls Can't Catch. Now, this is a Polydor fascination girl band. Girls Can't Catch are made up of Daisy Agnew, Jess Stickley and Phoebe Brown. The girls were scouted by the label and then asked to be part of a new band. All three of these girls were individually doing things in the industry. Phoebe Brown was previously part of the girl band Hope, who were fifth on the fourth series of X Factor. Emily Biggs from this band also ended up in Parade, but that's a story for another day.
Oh, God, another girl group. Hello.
Jess Stickley was scouted from the Moto Rocker competition, and Daisy Agnew was voted winner of the original Hugo Urban Rules in 2006, which was hosted by Trevor Nelson.
So they're all like kind of talent search things, right?
Yeah, three girlies going up. Just putting their stuff out there in the industry.
Very interesting that Fascination is already creating another girl group so soon after the Saturdays were launched. I mean, the Saturdays weren't even releasing their second album yet at this point, but I guess they just wanted maybe another group to support them on tour. And
the Saturdays were launched off the back of the Tangled Up tour, and they're now doing their first headline tour, one album in. Yep. Girls Aloud are going on hiatus. Let's get another girl band primed for this tour.
Get them ready, get them embedded in the fan base. And yeah, like all the pop fans were on the blogosphere at the time, the minute Girls Can't Catch was announced, and it's, you know, from the same lineage as Fascination with the Saturdays and all, I was tapped in. What about you?
No, again, it's really interesting they weren't, because I was tapped into Hope on the X Factor.
Were
but
you?
I didn't even realise, yeah. A girl from Hope, right, was in a girl band with My Sister Kylie pre-X Factor.
Should we do Hope for volume two of this? And what was that girl group that she was in with Kylie?
They were called, they had a bunch Innocence. Of different names. Yeah, Innocence. Pre that girly being on in Hope, she was with Kylie and another girl. And they were called Frisco at one point. They were called Sugar Dust at one point.
Sugar Dust.
All the girlies doing it out and about.
Just figuring their way in the industry.
Yeah, figuring their way, finding their path. So other than supporting Girls Aloud on the Out of Control tour, during their run, Girls Can't Catch also opened for the Jonas Brothers on the European leg of their sold-out world tour. And they headlined National Student Pride in Brighton. Not everybody has that. So let's go to July 2009. The debut single from Girls Can't Catch, Keep Your Head Up, Not Let Your Head Go, as I said off mic to David earlier.
First heard this, it was a bit of me. I loved
really?
It. Yes, it was a bit of me, because it's got that kind of spiky, strutty, electro pop energy that I was really getting into.
Okay, yeah, it's definitely online. It says it's soft cell inspired. I don't really know if that's official or whatever, but yeah, it's
I can hear it.
Sexy, yeah. Fun electro pop. To me, it doesn't give big girl band debut single. But it is a fantastic electro-pop single, nevertheless. And hey, maybe they're thinking, you look, this is 2009. We do something different.
Yeah, and I also wonder, because I can't help but compare, because they're both fascination girl groups. If, like, say, the Saturdays were going more pop mid-tempo, Katy Perry-style pop numbers, maybe Girls Can't Catch can be the more electro-pop girl group, perhaps? Something with a bit more grit and a bit edgier? Can we talk about the name before we go much further, JB? Because it's a bit of an unusual name, isn't it, for a girl group, Girls Can't Catch. What was your first impression when you first heard it?
I thought that was a really cool girl band name because it's very memorable. I've always remembered the name Girls Can't Catch, even if I've not been fully knowledgeable of the music.
I liked it. I thought it was a bit against the grain. But fun fact, the name Girls Can't Catch was originally rejected as a name for the Saturdays.
Really?
That name went back into the pile for this group. And it stuck with these three girlies, but they were saying the other names that were thrown into the mix for consideration were The Decibels.
No.
JB says no. Hoodie Love. That's a no from me.
Yeah, that sounds like a song, not a band.
And Gracie Lala.
No.
That's a no.
Girls Can't Catch, yes. I actually, David, found the list of all our potential podcast names the other day.
Oh, God.
But I think we'll save, we should read that out one day, but not today.
Was one of them like Pop Destroyers or something?
I don't think it was really interesting. I was really laughing looking at it. It was more like Not Such an Innocent Podcast.
No, it was not.
David, I didn't just make that up.
Listen, guys, if you want us to leak the list, let us know.
But yes, okay, well, Girls Can't Catch is definitely the most superior name out of all of those. And I think it's very, like, girl gangy.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the music video, David. It is giving the original Fifth Harmony Work From Home music video. We've got the girls at a junkyard, and then they're playing croquet with some boys at the junkyard.
I know, I'm very interested in this kind of juxtaposition of, like, very tough, very rugged visuals. They're in a junkyard. It's not like a Dolly Rocker situation where the visual presentation was so hammed up and so over the top. This has a more subtle presentation to it, potentially more commercially palatable.
Yeah, definitely more accessible.
A girl group name called Girls Can't Catch. I thought they'd be doing a bit of batting, a bit of baseball bat action.
Why would they do that? They can't catch. It's more like a joke. They're saying girls can't catch, but they're saying, yes, we can, and we'll show you how empowering we are.
Which is why I think they should have done a baseball concept.
And knocked it out of the park every
time.
Yeah,
exactly. And just give a bit more grit and aggression. But
I think they had seen Victoria Beckham coming to America and her throwing the ball at the baseball game. I said, we'll never top that.
The boys are cute, though, in this video.
He's on, that's a bit of me. I don't mind playing a bit of croquet with you boys. Girls can't catch, but boys, you can. So, David, let's talk about the B-sides on the single. One B-side, Kimberly Walsh of Girls Aloud fame interviews Girls Can't Catch Part 1. Now, unfortunately, this isn't on streaming. I've been trying to find it. So if anyone listening does have it, please do send it to us. Because I want to hear Kimberly saying, what's it like being in Girls Can't Catch? What does it mean to not catch, really? Because I've never thought about it. But I'm just like, that's like a fantastic genius move there, you know, mother superior girl band.
Casually interview. And Kimberly's probably transitioning into her presenter era.
Exactly, exactly.
One for the showreel.
And then our proper B-side here is a song called Stop. Now, that is not a Spice Girls cover, but it is a really nice electro mid-tempo number. Someone has kindly put up their live performances and dated them as well. They've basically put up the promo itinerary on Wikipedia. So these girls were booked and busy and everywhere promoting this. 8th of April 2009, my birthday, they performed at GAY. April till June on the Out of Control tour. June, they performed it on Hollyoaks. 26th of June at Glastonbury.
Oh.
13th of July, the 1519 show. That was a teen TV show. 24th of July, GMTV. 25th of July, Tramlines Festival. 27th of July, iTunes Festival. 29th of July, Loose Women. 1st of August, GAY again. 4th of December, Alan Titchmarsh Show.
Okay, the girls were definitely booked and busy. Wow.
The girls could catch a booking. Well done. And well done to TV plugger, bookers, everyone, management. So let's speak about charts. Number 26 here in the UK. Very respectable for a debut single, but a real juxtaposition. A number 4 smash hit in Scotland.
I mean, we need to get the Scottish Student Pride booking. Yeah. Hello.
For the anniversary. But yeah, where maybe they did a Scottish Oceania tour or...
Is there a Scottish Mighty Hoopla? That could be the reunion gig.
That was a reunion gig. Imagine if we single-handedly prepared a reunion for each three of these girl bands.
The girls can catch a comeback tour.
Presented by Right by Catcher.
Oh my God. Come on, girlies. We are available.
Let's go for it. So then let's fast forward to January 2010. We love a Q1 January release. The girls released their second single, Echo. Now, David, this music video was shot in the beginning of November. Fans were allowed to post video ideas for the music video. It's very much us saying cat suits, high ponytail, but they were actually allowed to submit it. Whoever won was allowed to visit the girls on set of the music video and get a makeover. Brilliant. Where's our makeover?
So this was a fans winning idea.
Apparently. The concept is the girls performing on top of the White Cliffs of Dover. I would say this is if GAY Late was on the White Cliffs of Dover.
Love it. Where is Jeremy Joseph and that doggo? Just off screen. Doggy's having a little wee on the bushes.
Just do it over the cliff.
But they were looking so glamorous in this video.
I thought it was glam, gorgeous. Even though it's one location, it felt expensive.
But also, styling-wise, girls look a little bit different. They're a little bit more mature, a bit sexier, a bit more sultry.
We only got a day to rehearse the video, and we were kind of freaked out. We were like, oh my gosh, the routine's changed. There's loads more to think about than just, you know, because we originally do just that when we perform to a live crowd.
I love the styling. So I'm just wearing like a black play suit velvet one and like thigh-high boots, which are really hard to dance in. They're really high.
Well, because the colours are silver and black for this video, they've put me in the dress, put a metallic on here and some gloves, because gloves is my thing.
Now, David Lim, this song, to me, it sounds quite Saturdays-esque. If we're saying all before about the differences between the Saturdays and Girls Can't Catch, this to me sounds very Saturdays in a brilliant way, but considering their label mates, it's very similar.
It's too similar. It's giving the echoes of the Saturdays, which really surprised me at the time because I thought they might want to do something different. And also, given that they were more electro-pop sounding with the first single and its B-side, I really thought that was the direction they were going in. But maybe they saw the chart position and thought, look, it's not resonating. Let's go for something more radio-friendly.
Phoebe's vocals, that's our girly from Hope. Phoebe's vocals on this are giving your girl, our girl, Ricky Lee Coulter.
There are some distinct vocalists here in this group. that I really enjoy listening to. I haven't quite figured out who sings what yet.
Yes, three very distinct voices in this group.
Do you know who is a number one fan of this song at the time? My little brother, Sean.
It's not a Sean Limmy platinum hit.
This is a Sean Lim platinum hit. I don't even think he'll remember it now if I mention it, but he was in primary school at the time. Oh. I used to drive him to school. And, you know, those are the days of, like, burning mix CDs and you play it in your car.
Yeah.
So this song was on a mix CD in a car and he used to like it. So I used to, like, put it on repeat for him.
Getting pumped up for primary school. Let's talk about B-sides, David. They gave us a track called Love Shy. This track, Love Shy, is electro meets big band jazz, and it is absolutely fabulous.
When a girl like me gets home, she likes a boy like you to know that she needs some love and take LC, the boy.
And to everyone that was waiting, you get part two of your Kimberly Walsh from Girls Aloud interviews, Girls Can't Catch. The girlies had a top 20 hit with this single, number 19 here in the UK and 15 in Scotland.
So were you aware as a Saturdays fan that that was a baby sister group?
I wasn't.
What were you listening at the time that... Just give us a little snapshot of what was in the JB's playlist.
So what I was listening to at the time is Heidi Montag's album on repeat, very into Selena Gomez and The Scene, Miley Cyrus, Ashley Tisdale. I went to the Saturdays first tour. I only saw Pixie open for them. I don't know if people are on before them or if Pixie just did the dates I saw. Unfortunately, that's the last single we saw of the girls. They were lining up to release an album, and that unreleased album has made its way online. There are a few standouts for me and potentially for us on that album. First one to point out is You're the Kind of Man.
This is a bit of DL1. Slinky electro pop with like an R&B twist to it. Fun fact, this is a cover of a song by Sarah Connor, a German pop star. This version is the version for me, the Girls Can't Catch version.
Other standouts for me on the unreleased album is Turn Me Up, a song co-written by British music legend Shazmay Lewis of All Saints. This song is giving us that dead, funky, bit more of a girl gang attitude. And then another standout for me is Alone. Now, this is co-written by the fabulous Pixie Lott. And here it's giving very album one Pixie, very soulful pop mid-tempo track.
It's interesting that you said Pixie because I completely missed her name in the credits. But yeah, Karen Paul, Pixie Lott, Stuart Crichton. Like, these are pop legends here.
Pop legends.
And funny you said Pixie. The chorus goes, this star has lost its shine, been burnt so many times. I'm all cried out. It's over now.
You'll have to cry me out, darling.
I really like this song. I think, again, it's kind of like a perfectly decent Saturdays pop mid-tempo. Maybe the vision for this group isn't as clear.
Potentially a slightly identity crisis. It felt like there was nothing like a stamp of this is what Girls Can't Catch is. It seems like there was a full album there ready to go. It would be lovely to see that be officially released onto streaming so people can really take it in.
Yeah, absolutely.
And three fantastic singers, so...
I'd love to see it on streaming, especially put You're That Kind of Man. Don't make me go on YouTube, mate. It's a bit annoying.
Right, shall we move on to our third and final girl band of the episode?
Okay, guys, so we are also here to celebrate the wonderful pop duo Mini Viva, who were formed and developed by Xenomania in 2008. This was a whole new chapter for Xenomania. I mean, we know them and love them so much for all the Girls Aloud hits, but also outside of Girls Aloud in 2008, 2009, they were having success with Gabriella Chilmi's debut album, Annie's second album, Pet Shop Boys' Yes album. So it kind of felt like, okay, what is the next chapter for Xenomania? So Brian Higgins and Miranda Cooper decided to do their own thing and develop their own acts. And here we are with Mini Viva. The girls Brit Love and Frankie Connolly came together through auditions. Brit is from Newcastle. Frankie's from Manchester. Brit heard about the audition after she got a flyer handed to her at a breakdancing convention. She was doing a performing arts course at Newcastle College. She was more focused on dancing. Maybe being a pop star and singing wasn't as high on the agenda. She definitely has never heard of Xenomania before until she went for this. And it just kind of worked. They were kind of workshopping what this girl group would look like, how many members, what the lineup would be. But ultimately, it became a duo because Brit and Frankie had the best connection. So,
shall I quote it? Yeah. I'll quote it. This is Brit. We were sat waiting to go in an audition with some other girls and we instantly clicked before we'd even been introduced to each other.
Ah.
I think it was a northern thing, adds Frankie. All the other girls were really stage school. They kept showing off their vocals while we were waiting to see who was better than the others. We just had a gossip in the back.
Yes.
What a story!
They were also managed by 19 Management, Simon Fuller's company. They were signed to Geffen Records, Universal, so it felt like they had lots of big players involved. I remember first seeing their visuals for it and thinking, okay, we haven't had a pop duo. Kind of giving me new generation Mel and Kim.
Oh, wow. That's high praise.
So these girls worked together for about 18 or 19 months behind the scenes, even before the debut single was released. So Xenomania were really taking their time there to get all their ducks in a row. And then even before that single comes in September, they were supporting the Saturdays on the Work Tour. They did Left My Heart in Tokyo, Bedroom Viber, which was released as a free download if you signed up to the mailing list. And you know I'm there every night, and I'm down every day. September 2009, the debut single by Mini Viva, Left My Heart in Tokyo. I was very, very tapped into Mini Viva, and I feel like these girlies still hold a very special place in gay pop Twitter's hearts.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Now, JB, fun fact, they had a bit of a soft launch the year before. This track was released in October 2008 as a Fred Falk remix on a limited edition 10-inch vinyl.
Wow.
Very simple Japanese-style packaging, white label, no pictures of the girls, and it was under a fake label called World's Finest Records, which is actually Xenomania.
Wow, I absolutely love that. That's brilliant.
It's written by Miranda, Brian, and Annie, and Fred Falk, and the wonderful Carla Marie Williams.
Do you think this was an Annie cast-off then?
I do wonder, actually. There must be an Annie demo somewhere of her doing this. I was kind of pleasantly surprised by the 80s nods to it. It was kind of like funky modern disco pop. Brit has such a distinct tone. You just think, who's that girl? That voice, that tone is so distinct. It's got real character to it. Like, it's kind of
unique in that way that is still everyone's going to be able to listen to it.
And then we got Frankie in the second verse, like, but she comes in with that kind of bratty British rap energy, and they have this kind of balance that really, really works. So this music video, JB, we've got the girlies dancing in front of a green screen, I guess. It's giving kind of Ray of Light Madonna music video, yeah. But in Tokyo.
But it is green screen, but it's done so well. It doesn't feel like a cheap green screen music video. It feels very layered, different types of shots with the girls, different backgrounds, shots of them together, solo shots. There's a real concept of, yes, as you're saying, in Tokyo.
For a first impression of Mini Viva, it's kind of like, what kind of group is this performance-wise? Because we're getting some shots of them doing choreo, but it's not properly dance choreo.
It could be a like a workout, a Zumba or something. Left my heart in Tokyo. Other arm. Squat down, thrust, thrust, thrust.
Now, JB, I remember there was so much buzz around this group when they first debuted. I mean, the press, the pop tastemakers, everyone was raving about them. It really felt very strong out the gate. Mini Viva's here. Got to give a shout out to our pal, Nick Levine of Digital Spy. He gave this song 4 out of 5, saying, make no mistake, their debut single sounds like a chart invader. With its swooning chorus, inventive disco tinge production and lyrics that sound great, even when they don't quite make sense, Left My Heart in Tokyo is vintage Xenomania.
As if in 29 we already had vintage Xenomania.
But do you not feel that when you're listening to it, having had all the history of Xenomania songs? Like this good, feels
Xenomania at its best is lyrics that don't quite make sense.
So Left My Heart in Tokyo debuted and peaked at number 7 in the UK, one spot ahead of our girls Sugar Babes Get Sexy in its second week.
Wow.
And do you know who else was really winning that week, JB?
Who?
Your girl Pixie Lott.
With what song?
It must have been the physical release of Boys and Girls because it just went straight to number 1.
Well, that was a number 1 smash hit.
Number 1 smash hit that week. I mean,
deserved.
Crazy. Look at that. What a time. Still, though, shout out to our Mini Viva girlies. They were the second biggest new entry that week behind Mika.
Now, yeah, look, it's the only top 10 we'll speak of this episode, apart from the song that was number 4 on the Scottish charts. But Mini Viva, number 15 on the Scottish charts, 23 in Ireland and 7 in Finland. Like, if this came out in September, do you think it should have been just a one single straight into album situation?
No, because they're new. They don't have a fan base yet. I would have definitely said the album the following summer. But what was interesting is that there were stuff in the press that said that the album was coming in November that year. That doesn't give it a very long lead time, does it?
So where the hell was it?
Well, sadly, we never got an album from Mini Viva, but it was reported at the time that got pushed to the summer of 2010 and it didn't happen. But what we do have in this discography is 3 incredible singles.
All right, Devo, let's go to winter 2009. What's next for Mini Viva?
JB, just when you're getting into the Christmas spirit, the Mini Viva girlies are saying, not yet. We've got a wistful crying at the disco moment for you. I really do think, guys, if you've not heard this song in a while, give it a spin.
Especially at this time of year.
Yeah, exactly. This is I Wish Season by Mini Viva. JB, dare I say, this is going to be my favourite song that we're going to talk about today.
Really?
If you liked Call the Shots and Never Gonna Dance Again by Sugar Babes, I think this is a baby sister track.
Really? No, I think the song's fantastic. I just wouldn't compare it to those songs.
This video was directed by Ray Kay, who did Sheza's Fight for This Love music video. We've got the Mini Viva girlies in LA. Even when you look at the opening shots of this video, where the girls emerge from the underground on the escalators, it's kind of like, ooh, did they just run from the last music video into this one? Here we have the girlies again in color blocking concept.
It's the neon palette that we were loving in the late 2000s.
Statement necklaces and like bold colors, right?
Yeah, neon throwback, bringing the 80s into the 2000s.
The close-ups of the girls, they look absolutely stunning. Like, it's
absolutely.
It's giving Rimmel London commercial, isn't it?
Where was the Rimmel collab? That would have been absolutely fabulous. This video would have been perfect for a kind of, makeup collab or something like that. So then it's like a 30-second or even a 10, 20-second cut down of the music video could be an advert. So you're getting that fed to you constantly. Because I also love like the neon effects used on the street and the buildings in all the music video as well.
So I would say this is potentially maybe not the best time to release a single if you're a new artist. Comes out 14th of December, JB. Like, it's a little bit late, don't you think?
Tricky. It is tricky. I think if, because say me and you were running a label, right? I think in a boardroom, you can get convinced why it is a good Christmas release. Like, I could have then easily, I haven't accepted this as like a wintry, somber moment, but then all it takes is for us to discuss it and then I can instantly see it as that. But yeah, you could have shifted back a few weeks and done it as a January release.
Why are we leaving it so many months till December? Maybe there were changes in the plans, but I felt like this should have either been a November release or a January release. That week it came out, that was the chart battle for the X Factor winner single.
Oh no.
You know, our poor Joe McElderry battle with Rage Against the Machine, you know, everyone was like, oh, let's go buy that song to make it number one, to sabotage Joe. Poor Mini Viva with I Wish debuted and peaked at number 73 in the UK. But still, we got a very lovely review from Nick Levine of Digital Spy here.
Oh, what's he said then?
I Wish is a misty-eyed disco pop nugget full of regret and longing. Just like me tomorrow.
Stop it.
Full of regret and longing, whose irresistible chorus has just the right hint of the Venga Boys to it. So, JB, before we move to the final single by Mini Viva, just to say, April 2010, they were a support act on Diversity's tour with Agro Santos. Remember that DJ?
God.
Kimberly Walsh collaborator,
yeah,
Agro Santos.
Yeah, I remember.
Now, at this time, I guess all the girlies were on YouTube and were trying to build their engagement before we even knew what that was called. They did a weekly live stream show on their YouTube channel called Viva Mini Viva. And in it, they showed behind the scenes clips from their tour with Diversity. But also there was an interview with Agro Santos. I mean, it's just the early days of pop stars creating content, isn't it?
That would have been on my pitch to do their socials.
Hi, I'm Britt.
And I'm Frankie.
And we're Mini Viva. And this is Viva Mini Viva online weekly show.
This week, you can see what happened on our day off at Alton Towers and see what's been happening on the Diversity Tour. Stay tuned for a live chat after this.
So let's get to May 2010, the final single by Mini Viva, One Touch.
This is probably the most JB out of all the songs. Every time I hear One Touch, I think, oh, I'm listening to the radio edit of a remix. But I'm not. It's just the radio edit. It's like poppers up. It's extra poppers o'clock.
Now, originally, JB, this song was going to be called Do You Want a Candy? But they had to change it in the last minute because Agro Santos, there he is again.
He had it on tour and he copied it. Oh,
he had a song out the same week as our girlies called Candy.
With Kim Wyatt.
From the Pussycat Dolls.
Come and get you some, come and get you some candy, come and get you some.
Come and get your candy. I mean, that was a banger. I think that was a top five hit as well for our Kim. Let's talk about the music video for One Touch, JB. I mean, if we've had LA and quote-unquote Tokyo for the last two videos, we are now doing this at home in Kent.
We've got living room, going for it, girlies. It's third single. This is the budget you got left, I'm afraid. But you will make it work because you're Mini Viva and the output is still fabulous.
Yeah, love the girls in all black. They're looking more chic. We don't have the same kind of colour blocking ensembles as the last two videos, so maybe they're giving a more mature look.
Do you remember this coming out at the time?
100%. I was here for it. I remember thinking that this was such a bold choice, but also that, like, what's going to come next for the girls? Because there was stuff already leaking from their album sampler at this time, I guess. It's been 8 months since the first single. And I just remember feeling like the energy, the promo just wasn't there for this song as it was with the first single.
Because if second single was in December, it is odd to leave it all the way till May the next year.
But we must say, though, for Mini Viva, there were lots of sessions and live performances that were available online. But I felt like a lot of them were first half, first single. And then by the time we got to the third single, we weren't seeing as much of a push, sadly. Unfortunately for Mini Viva, this was the final release from the girlies, but there was an album sampler sent out at this time with the first two singles and three other songs, Say What You Feel, I'm Hooked, and Emotions of Love. So those are all on YouTube. If you want to check it out, these tracks are there. But personally, I feel like, yeah, Mini Viva's story is untold. That had such a great launch. It's just such a shame, don't you think?
Yeah, and it's a shame that One Touch then went in at 124. It's really is, I think for all these girl bands really, is that they came in at the time when the music industry is changing so much.
I mean, the following year, or maybe this year in 2010, when was Little Mix? 2011?
Yeah, Little Mix won X Factor on December the 11th, 2011.
Yeah, we've had that period of time where it felt like girl groups weren't the flavor of the moment, and then Little Mix wins X Factor, and then we had this rejuvenation of interest. Very interesting. At 2009, we had these three girl groups at the starting line, and sadly they didn't make it very far.
Absolutely, it's such a shame. Three extremely talented girl bands. I think there needed to unfortunately be that lull of, other than the Saturdays, nothing else going out there, for Little Mix to really come in and soar on the X Factor and then just have that continuously up journey that they amazingly did for 10 years.
Yeah, you're right, actually, because the power of TV was still really strong at this time. Anyone that comes on those X Factor shows have that kind of exposure, and these three girl groups didn't have the backing of those reality shows. And they were learning to find their fan base or build their fan base in an organic way. And how do you do that in a digital age where people are still figuring out how to do content on socials, how to be, you know, that wasn't there. That was still the early days of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I will give hats off to Dolly Rockers specifically. I mean, look, Mini Viva did have their online show as well, but Dolly Rockers were really posting all these cover videos, their YouTube channel, they had a blog. They were really going for it and capitalizing on promoting that way, and did build like a really cult following in the pop fandom.
So JB, I must ask you, in conclusion of this episode, if you had the power to bring back one of the girl groups or to put their unreleased material on streaming, who would you say?
So that's a very weighted question, David Ann, but I think even my mum calls you a David Ann now. She texted me the other day.
Does
great
she?
Episode, Jolie and David Ann.
Wendy!
I would like the full Xenomania Mini Viva album to be given to us on streaming.
Yes.
And for the Hoopla reunion slot, I think Dolly Rockers.
Dolly Rockers. Get it, girls.
Yeah. What about you?
I'm going to say the same. But also, I want the Dolly Rockers album sampler to be on streaming. Yes, put one more on there as well. I don't know what else was from the Red One sessions, but I want that one on there.
And that isn't anything against Girls Can't Catch. I think, if anything, I'd love to see Girls Can't Catch, but I think they're three, they seem like three individual artists.
Right.
More than a unity.
I think there were some good songs in that album sampler and also the leaked album. Look, in this day and age where music that was scrapped back then were able to be released finally, we need to take advantage of this. Come on, pop fans, let's make some noise for our girlies. JB, I hope you've enjoyed this little deep dive with me. I know a lot of these acts kind of passed you by at the time, but
I've loved it. I've loved catching up on my lost history. I can't wait. I hope that our listeners love it, and I can't wait to do more. I've already thought of another girl band that we need to do beyond who we've already spoken about, so.
Oh, okay. Drop me a WhatsApp message after
this. I will, yeah. Dolly.
We'll add it to the spreadsheet.
Well, to all our lost girl banders out there, you have been found and loved here at Right Back At Ya. And with our pop-loving community, you are listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast. If you're loving what we're doing, please do follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. Leave us a lovely 5-star review. You can email our hearts, rightbackpod@gmail.com. You can follow me at Dr_JoelB, and you can follow him at...
You want a candy? Hey, baby. It's at Love Limmy.
If you want that candy, hit that follow button. And if he likes you, he might even put you on his close friends. Until next time. Bye.
Also, Wendy, I don't have a close friends. That's fictitious.
Jolie, what's a close friends?
Am I your close friends, Jolie?
Of course.